Please open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5, the fifth chapter of Mark in your Scofield Bible, page 1051, beginning with the 15th verse. We'll read responsively through verse 20. The text verse is the 19th verse of this passage. As is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done to him, and all men did marvel. And let's pray. Father, what an opportunity once again is ours. How great the opportunity, how great also is the responsibility. Give us ears for the message, also hearts for thy word. Thank you for a preacher who preaches to us faithfully so. Grant thy power upon him and upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak today on the subject, go home to thy friends. I think that's one of the sweetest statements I've ever heard in my life. Jesus said them in Mark 5:19, go home to thy friends. You get it? You don't get it. You want it? Go home to thy friends. The word home there, I checked the word in the Greek, it means go to your house, go where you live. Go to your apartment to your friends. Go to your house to your friends. Wherever you live, go home to your friends. Didn't say go home to your family. Because the best friends you have ought to be at home. What he's saying there, he's saying, go home to your husband if he's your friend. And he ought to be. Go home to your wife who ought to be your friend. Go home to your children who ought to be your best friends. Go home to thy friends. I don't know what that does for you, but that really warms my heart. Go home. I love to hear these college students introduce their parents when they come to visit. I love to see some guy put his arm around his dad and say, this is my father and best friend. Or some young lady say, this is my mother and best friend. Or Dr. Jones, who said this morning, this is my mother-in-law, the mother-in-law of the most painless dentist in the world. I said, that's like being a heavenly devil to be a painless dentist. But you know, it's wonderful when a college student, young lady, can put her arms around her mother and say, this is my mother and my best friend. That's what this verse is saying. Go home to thy friends. I want to speak to you this morning on that subject. I could give a subtitle to my sermon and call it thine own house or his own house 40 times in the Bible. That little term is mentioned, his own house. This is Father's Day. This is not a Father's Day sermon, but it's a family sermon. And I want you to, and by the way, when I say family, I'm talking about wherever you live. It may be the dormitory of a college. It may be the barracks in the service. It may be a roommate in an apartment. It may be a family. But wherever you live today, whatever you call home, wherever you hang your hat, wherever you sleep at night, I'm not talking about where you sleep in the daytime. I'm not talking about church here. I'm talking about your home. Go home to thy friends. Father, bless the message today. Speak to us and change us where we need changing the most. In Jesus' name, amen. Be a little, I guess, a suffix or an appendix to the message of last Sunday. In one of my books, and I hope you'll follow me carefully as I lay the foundation. In one of my books, I have a chapter. The title of that chapter is called How High Are Your Valleys? In that book, I say, your height of your life is not the height of your heights, but the height of your valleys. It's not how high are you when you're at your peak, it's how high are you when you're at your bottom. The lower level, if you please. Somebody asked me, often they ask me, in question and answer session, almost always on Tuesday after lunch, where I'm preaching around the country, they have a question and answer session for pastors and full-time workers, and I'm asked often this question, who do you think is the greatest preacher in America? Well, of course, humility prevents me from answering that question accurately. Anybody home this morning? I don't think the elevator is going to the top floor today. The lights are on, but nobody's at home. Here's what I say. I don't know who the best preacher. Now, if I had to hear one sermon, I think the greatest preacher, if I had to hear one sermon to stir me, I'd choose Dr. Tom Malone. But who said amen to that? But anyway, I always go farther than that. I don't know who the greatest preacher in America is, because if I found out, I'd have to go to his church for a whole year and listen to him preach every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and teach every Wednesday night for a whole year. Then I have to go to every preacher's church in America or the world and hear them for a whole year at home, not in a Bible conference, not in a fellowship meeting, not in a convention, but at home. At home. I'd have to hear him preach 52 sermons on Sunday morning at home, 52 Sunday night sermons at home, and 52 Wednesday night Bible studies at home. Then I could decide who is the greatest preacher in America. I'm saying you're as pleasant as your most unpleasant moment. You're not as pleasant as you are at your most pleasant. You are as pleasant as you are, listen to me, at your most unpleasant or least pleasant moment. You are not as spiritual as you are at your highest spiritual plane. Your spiritual temperature can be taken best when you're at your lowest spiritual plane. The best is not he who has the highest best. The best is he who has the highest worst. The highest is not the one who has the highest peaks, but the highest is the one who has the highest valleys. The kindest person in this room today is not the one who has the highest kindness. The kindest person in this room today is the one who has the lowest kindness. What your kindness is when it's at its bottom. What your friendliness is when it's the least friendly. Not your peaks, not your mountaintops, but your valleys determine what you are in any area of your life. So don't work on your peaks. Work on your valleys, and the peaks will take care of themselves. Now, hear me carefully. Home is your depth. You are at your worst at home. So if you work on what you are at home, then you're working on what kind of Christian that you really are. May I say this, and I'll ask you please to listen carefully. Home is that place where you can be yourself. You can weep at home when you cannot weep anywhere else. Nothing wrong with that. That's what home's all about. Home is a place where you can let down your hair. I can't, but most folks can. Home is a place where you can be quiet when you can't be quiet anywhere else. Home is a place where you can be yourself. You can be what you ought to be for a little while at church. But you're at home too long to be at your peak. You can come to church and be at your peak for a while and convince all of us what a wonderful Christian you are. And I can do the same thing. But I'm only at church. Well, we'll only be here this morning, for example, for about 3 or 4 hours. But we're only here for a while. So you can be at your best all the time you're at church, but you can't be at the best all the time you're home. That's why people say sometimes about their wife, my wife, she can be a good Christian at church. She's not much of a Christian at home. One fellow in the Assembly of God church, one of his wife, he didn't want to go. He was not even a Christian, but he went to an Assembly of God church, and she got up right in the middle of the service, and she said, "Praise the Lord, I'm filled with the Spirit." This old guy pulled her down and said, "Yeah, but you spring a leak every time you get home." You can be at your best for that little while you teach your Sunday school class, but you can't be at your best at home. I'm saying no matter who you are, your worst is at home. You can be at your best at the WMS meeting because it only lasts for a while. But you can't, and you're not there long enough for them to see you, your valleys. You can only point them to your peaks. You can be at your best for a youth meeting, youth activity, or a convention, or a God Save America conference, or even while you preach a sermon. I can be on top side while I preach a sermon on the last 30 to 45, 50 minutes at the most. I can be at my best for that. But I cannot stay at my best for all the hours that I'm at home. Consequently, you are as good a Christian as you are at home. You are as good a Christian as your family thinks you are. Ask a question. If I ask your wife today what kind of Christian you are, you say, "Oh no, Lord help me, no, no, no." What answer would I get? Answer me, fellas. You don't want, how many of you guys would like me to ask your wife? Raise your hand. If I ask your husband today what kind of a Christian you are, what kind of an answer? Oh, if I ask your Sunday school class, they may say, "Boy, that's a wonderful Christian." If you want to find out what kind of a Christian I am, in fact, don't try. But I'm simply saying the type person you are, or the type Christian you are, is not what you are in public, it's what you are at home. It's not at your best, it's at your worst. And I think it has to be that at home, each of us is at his worst. Now, how high... How good is your worst? How high is your lowest? How friendly is your least friendly? How gracious are you when you are least gracious? Now, I'm not saying you ought to go home, put on the same face you have at church. I think that's impossible. If you lived here at the church all the time, you could not be what you are when you come to church. So I'm simply saying today, if you are to raise your valley of your Christianity, the best way is to raise the lowest level of your Christianity. And the lowest level of your Christianity is at home. I'm not talking about what kind of Christian are you on your anniversary. What kind of a husband are you on your anniversary? What kind of a wife are you on your anniversary? I'm not asking you what kind of a child are you on Mother's Day. I'm asking you, what kind of a child are you at home 365 days a year? I say this as sincerely as I know how to say it. Cindy Scott does not have to do a thing for me on Father's Day. That's why she never does. But if she totally forgot today was Father's Day, I mean this, if she totally forgot today was Father's Day, if I got no card or no gift, or no call, or no happy Father's Day, that would not disappoint me. Because Cindy is thoughtful of her father 365 days a year. I'm not asking you today to raise the level of your childhood or your love or devotion or concern or care for your parents just on Father's Day or Mother's Day. I'm not asking you today to raise the level of your concern, expression of your love, on a birthday. I'm not talking about raising the expression of your love on Christmas Day or at church
or the foster club, or the Sunday school class, or the youth revival, or the Bible conference, or even when you pray. I'm not concerned about how good a Christian you are when you pray. And by the way, neither is God. I'm not concerned about how good a Christian you are when you go soul winning. Many of you ladies, you're wonderful at foster club, but you're Jezebel at home. And I want to say that you're not a good Christian. Oh, but you say, I won more souls than anybody in my car last year. But I say you're not a good Christian. You are as good a Christian. Hear me. Wake up and hear me. You are only as good a Christian as you are at home. You are only as good a child of God. Now, I'm not saying that you can always, that you shouldn't rise to heights. I'm simply saying that what kind of Christian you are is measured at your lowest point, and your lowest point is where you stay the most of the time, and since you stay the most of the time at home, and that's what this church needs, a revival of kindness and tenderness and love and expressions of goodness and patience and loving kindness and forbearance and even disposition at home. That's what this church needs. I am so weary. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not weary of helping you. I'll be honest with you. I've got more. I mean, a church this size, you can't understand. You hear about a tragedy every once in a while, but as pastor of this many people and thousands of others, every day of my life, my heart is broken about something. I'm working with, I guess, 6 or 7 homes right now where the husband's left the wife or the wife's left the husband. I mean, right now, at this minute, all the time it's that way. I don't understand. If you can be a good Christian in front of strangers, why can't you be a good Christian at home? If you can be nice and kind in front of the people you don't even know, well, listen, the average woman here is nicer than the fellow at the grocery store, and she has her husband. The average man here is nicer to the woman next door than he is woman inside his own house. Now you listen to me. God is not concerned how good a Christian you are in public. God's concerned how good a Christian are you. And you young people also, same thing for you. You might be the best soul winner on teenage soul winning, but if you're not happy and right what you ought to be at home and obedient at home, you are not as good a Christian as you are at teenage soul winning, and you're not as good a Christian as you are at camp. You're not as good a Christian as you are at the youth revival. You are as good a Christian as you are at home. That's your lowest point. That's where you spend most of the time. And don't come blabbing to me about your Christianity if you're not what you ought to be inside the four walls of your house. Boy, that's good preaching. Not how sweet are you to your husband or wife on your anniversary, but how sweet are you when the air conditioning breaks down on a 100-degree day? Or how sweet are you when you say to your husband, we're about out of gas on the highway. He says, we can get cheaper gas 10 miles down the road. And 5 miles down the road, you run out of gas. And there you sit looking at old stubborn DD. And now, how good a Christian are you then? It happened, did it? It's not how good a Christian you are on Mother's Day, but how good a Christian you are when your mother-in-law decides to stay another week. To me, that's a supreme test of Christianity. Or when you find out you're expecting your 9th child. Or when your husband gives you a pet turtle for your birthday. Or forget your anniversary and go to the cemetery to get a bouquet. Now, folks, the time, by the way, the people that I counsel with that are ogres at home are not all fringe people that just drive in on a Sunday morning. It's time that the homes of our choir members got cheerful and happy, and the people choir members became good Christians at home. It's time the deacons of our church and their families became good Christians at home. It's time the Sunday school teachers of our church became good Christians at home. I mean, it's time that the best people, the Wednesday night people, the Foster Club people, the Fisherman Club people, the bus workers, it's time you stop to realize that you are only as good a Christian as you are in your house. And by the way, nobody's expecting you to demonstrate it at home like you do at church. We're expecting you, God is expecting you to raise the debts, that's all. To be sure that at home, you're a better Christian now than you were. What I'm asking is, what kind of a Christian does your wife think you are? What kind of a Christian does your husband think you are? What kind of a Christian does your child think you are? What kind of a Christian does your parents think you are? What kind of a Christian does your, hold it, brother think you are? What kind of a Christian, and by the way, it's not funny not to be a good Christian. And if your brother thinks you're a bad Christian, that's nothing to snicker about. It's something you will come to the altar about. What kind of a Christian does your sister think you are? Now, ladies and gentlemen, 40 times in the Bible it says these words, his own house. Mark 5:19. Go home to thy friends. Are you as good a friend at home as you are outside the house? Would you stand up for your husband when he's in trouble as much as you would Brother Hiles when he's in trouble? Would you defend your wife like you would Mrs. Hiles? Defend her. 1 Timothy 5:4 says out of this, first show, listen to me, first show thy piety at home. Now I'm saying, you're going to cry at home and you can't cry somewhere else. You're going to be sad. And there's nothing wrong with being sad at home, but there's something wrong with blaming your wife for it. There's nothing wrong with being quiet at home when you're brokenhearted, but home is not a place for you to give an hourly medical report of your pain. I'm saying, there ought to be some place you can go home, go to, and a refuge, and some place you can let your hair down, and some place you can weep when you can't weep anywhere else, and some place you can nurse your wounds when you can't nurse your wounds anywhere else. But that doesn't give you a right to be a grouch. It doesn't give you a right to be unkind. It doesn't give you a right to be accusative. It doesn't give you a right to fuss. I'm saying you don't have to fuss at home. You don't have to have hell at home. You don't have to be unkind at home. It's time you men decided to become good Christians and treat that woman like she ought to be treated. And it's time you women change being hell cats to heaven cats. And it's time you decide to be the kind of person that will encourage your home. And the atmosphere of your home, as I said in my class this morning, ought to be a little heaven on earth. Luke 8:39. I love this statement. Listen carefully to it. Jesus said, return unto thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Hey, listen now, listen. Return to thine own house and show how great things that God hath done. The key word is the word show. Didn't say tell. Didn't say go home and tell your wife how good God's been. Go home and by your life, show her what God's done for you. Didn't say go home and tell your husband, well, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, glory, shut up and show him. Show him that God has changed your life. Show him the power of the Holy Spirit to transform you. Show him the victorious Christian life you live. Show him the life that Christ has. Shut your mouth and show him patience and show him kindness. And Jesus said, go home. Go home. And didn't say go home and tell what things that God has done for you. He said, you go home and show. It's time that our Christianity extended from the church house to the house. Proverbs 11:29, listen to this verse. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Ask a question. Does your wife love to see you come home? I told you that sign we have at our house. Sometimes I wake up grouchy and sometimes I let him sleep. Is that the testimony of your wife? It is mine. Wait a minute. Does your husband, is he glad to see you? When he comes home, is he glad to get home, or does he wonder what kind of mood you're going to be in tonight? Do you have to have a mood meter? Red flag, white flag, black flag? But you see, Brother Howes, you understand, I'm a woman. I have certain periods of my life when I'm different. That's not in the Bible. Jesus didn't say, be kind 3 weeks a year. A month, excuse me. A year, more like it. I told Mabel I was shocked she didn't stand a while ago when the heads of the house stood. Ray said she's too old, she can't hear very well anymore. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. We don't need the charismatic revivals you see on the television sets. We don't need somebody putting his hands about his head and the guy faking a faint. We don't need that. We need a Christianity that takes that Bible and takes it home. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm not talking about you pious, prude ladies that go home, your husband's unsaved, and you walk in and say, may the dear Lord Jesus make you what you ought to be. I'm praying to that end. Oh, shut up and be a good wife. I'm talking about taking that Bible home and living it at home. I'm talking about the place where you're the lowest, the place where you spend the most time, the place where you can't put on. First Timothy 3:4 talks about the preachers, and I love this statement. Talks about the preacher ruleth his own, should rule his own house well. Now you preacher boys like to use that word rule, but how about that word well? He ruleth his own house well. Yes, he rules his own house, but does it with love. Yes, he rules his own house, but he does it with kindness. Yes, he rules his own house. Years ago when Miss Howes and I first got married, we made a decision. We got this from Dr. Tom Malone, that I would take care of every major decision that comes up. Every stinking one of them. And she'd take care of the little decisions. In 47 and a half years of marriage, not one major decision has come up in our household. But if it ever does, brother, I'll show you who makes it. I'll let you show them. I am so sick of preachers' wives across the country coming to me and telling me what an ogre their husband is at home. I am sick and tired of preachers coming where I travel across the country. And you'd be amazed how many pastors across this country I have flown myself and paid their plane ticket to come to Hammond to try to keep them from killing each other and teach them how to get along with each other. I'm simply saying, listen, did you know the Bible says, you learned it the first verse you ever learned. Be ye kind one to another. You know what that means in the Greek? It means be ye kind one to another. I'm a good Christian. I memorize 48 chapters a year. Shut up! Be a good Christian at home. I'm a good Christian. I tell you what, I built the biggest ladies' Bible class, the biggest men's Bible class in the church. Let me see how you are at home. 2 Samuel 19:30, I love this. It says, he came again in peace unto his own house. Well, how about your husband? Does he leave the house to get peace? He came again. Or how about your husband? How about you fellas? Do you bring peace home or war home? I've had a life of blessings. And I'll close with this, but it's a rather lengthy close. So don't put your shoes on, ladies. I've had a life of blessings. If I were to begin to write a book of all the things that God has done for me through these years and all the blessings I've had, I believe I could almost say what the Bible says about Jesus. The worlds could not contain the books that I would write, how good God's been to me and all the blessings God's been. For example, you're listening to the preacher this morning, not the best preacher in America, but the world. Glad you're still home. Just checking to see if anybody was home. You not listen to the best preacher in America or the world anywhere else. But you are listening to the preacher who's seen more people walk the aisle for salvation than any preacher in the history of America, and maybe any in the history of the New Testament church. You're looking at the preacher this morning that probably has more preacher boys in the ministry today than any preacher who's ever lived. I'm saying God's been good to me, hasn't he? But I think among the blessings, high at the top, would be the fact when my own sister wanted to get saved, she came to see her brother. We grew up together. When I wanted to get saved, I dead sure didn't go to her. Oh, what a sister. No, I'm lying. She's amazing. But we grew up in the same house. We shared poverty together. We waited each other outside the bathroom, which was outside the house. I mean, we bathed in the same dirty water in the number two tub. Not the same time. I mean, she knew me when I was a boy. She knew me when I was a teenager. She'd known me well all these years. But one night she got convicted and wanted to be saved. She came to see her brother. To me, that's among the great blessings of my life. I got to win my own father-in-law to Jesus. And when he prayed the sinner's prayer, by the way, one of the best men I ever met in my life, but one of the hardest men about being saved I ever met in my life. Didn't want to talk about religion at all. And one day on his 70th birthday, boy, that seemed awful old then. On his 70th birthday, I told him the story of Christ. I walked in, I said, "Papa, I won't tell you how to be saved." He said, "Don't have time for that." Always said that. "Don't have time for that. Don't have time for that. Don't have time for that." I said, "Papa, I'm here from Indiana to visit. I'm preaching here. And you're going to have time." I said, "You're going to hear the gospel today. Either you're going to sit there and listen to me tell you how to be saved, or I'm going to get a loudspeaker and put it on the top of my car. And I'm going out in the front of your house and turn to the highest volume it's got and broadcast the whole neighborhood. Papa, this is your son-in-law, Jack! And you're going to hear it in here quietly, or the whole neighborhood's going to hear it as I broadcast it." He said, "Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead." I told him how to be saved. But here's what I'm getting at. I asked him to pray the sinner's prayer. I didn't tell him how to word it. Except I told him, I said, "Ask God to forgive you. And in your own words, tell him you're trusting Christ as your Savior." And here's the first thing he said. He said, "Dear God, I thank you that I have a son-in-law whom I can trust." We lived in their house for a year. I'm not saying I'm a great Christian. I'm simply saying among the blessings of my life are those blessings. When our battle began 4 years ago, our big battle, Mrs. Howells did not know I heard this. But I came in one day, and she was screaming on the phone. She doesn't use to scream on the phone. It's off the phone when she screams. But she was screaming on the phone. I mean, screaming. And here's what she said. "I want you to know." No, I'm sorry. "I want you to know that my husband is the best Christian I know." And she took that phone and slammed it down. What would your wife say? What would your husband say? Go home to thy friends. Go home to thy friends. Depart to your own house and show what great things God has done for you. I review just briefly. The height of your valleys determine what kind of a Christian you are. Not your mountain peak, but your valleys. You're not as good a Christian as you are on your best day, but as you are on your worst day. You're as kind as you are when you're the least kind.
How about the folks that work with you? How about the folks, the fellow that calls you wife? Or the man that, or the woman that calls you husband? Or the one that calls you daddy? Or the one that calls you brother? Or the one that calls you sister? Revival will only come to America when it comes to our homes. A little lady sat in my office just a few weeks ago. Her husband graduated, having a senior appointment about his future. I was trying to decide whether to advise him to be a pastor, assistant pastor, or what to do with his life and the Lord's work. And I looked at his wife and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "what do you think he ought to do?" And tears welled up in her eyes, and she said, "Whatever he feels like God wants him to do, I'm with him." But she said, "Dr. Hiles, I want you to know one thing. That man right there is the nearest thing to Jesus I've ever seen." What'd your wife say? What'd your husband say? It's time you had a revival right in here and right up here and right down there at home. Go home to thy friends. Go home to thy friends. Our Heavenly Father, I'm not sure I know a message that ought to be preached to Christians in America as much as this one. We're so busy shining our peaks and letting our depths grow with weeds. We're so busy varnishing our best days while our worst days go unkempt. We're so busy on the mountaintop we forget to take care of the valley. That valley being our houses, where we live, where we can cry and be quiet if we need to be, and hurt and nurse our wounds. And so I pray you'd help us to work on our valleys, our homes, our barracks, our dormitories, our houses, our partners.